Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed?
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
That's right, baby. Wednesday afternoon, Jose V. You are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Greatly appreciate you joining us today, as you do every single Wednesday around this time. Big shout out to our guy, Quan59, behind the big board, doing what he does for us every single week here on Gorilla Cross Radio. We are streaming live on all social media platforms for Gorilla Cross Radio, the Gorilla Cross app and GorillaCross.com. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, we're there. Check us out right now. Any platform you like to watch, you can definitely check it out there. If you miss any part of the show and you want to watch this later, or you want to listen to it because you're someone that doesn't like to watch video, maybe you're at work and you can only listen to it. I do that with a lot of video podcasts. I just like to listen to them because I can't necessarily watch them. You can check us out, Straight Bet Sports, on YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. Anything you think of, we're there. You can check us out for free, which is the best part about it. We got a great show on tap for you guys today. We got a return guest going to be joining us here shortly on the video line. My co-host, Ian B., is running a bit late. We got some news for him as well, so it's kind of funny that he's running a bit late today. Primo Eddie chiming in already, very disappointed in Mexico. We can't always depend on other teams to help us out. I agree with you. I'm half Argentinian, half Mexican. Primo, obviously, I'm rocking the Argentina today because they came through and did what they had to do. But it was a tough loss there for them. Even though they won the game, tough loss not being able to enter into the next round, which is huge, right? But man, we got a great show on tap today. We're going to talk some World Cup soccer. I was at Rincón de Buenos Aires on Spring Mountain Road here in Las Vegas. Big shout out to them. Service amazing. Food was amazing. Just hospitality, everything. The people there, everyone was Argentina, so it was my first time being around a bunch of just Argentinian people watching a soccer game. And let me tell you, they were all rooting for Mexico, as crazy as that sounds. I cannot believe what I was hearing, how bad. Every time they would show highlights or move in and out of these games, how these Argentinian fans were just rooting for Mexico to pull through and move forward. That just shows you that there's no love lost, there's no hate there. Mexico still has not beat Argentina in a World Cup in the history of the World Cup. And Mexico finally gets some points on the board, some goals in the net. Fifth game, finally, they get a goal. Previous four World Cup games, no goals there. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and our guest for this evening as well. Our guest co-host, he is none other than our guy Rex of the Wise Guys Diamond Club, Daily Bread Media, all that good stuff. He's rocking his Philadelphia Union jersey. Right? Do I got that right? Is that a Philadelphia Union jersey?
Yes, sir.
Even though the LAFC came through and that was a tough one, man, we were texting back there. But how you doing, my guy? Did you enjoy the games today?
Yeah, it's a great Wednesday night. We got a nice night of NBA and college hoops actions to keep on the all-day action from the World Cup, so it's the best time of the year right now.
How'd you do on your World Cup bets? Did you have anything on the Argentina game or the Mexico game or anything else today?
No, we just tailed you today, so damn, it's however you did on those plays.
Not good, bro. I went 0-2. That's horrible. That's why I tell people I don't consider myself to be a handicapper. That's not my job. I leave that up to Rex, Sosa, and everyone else over there doing their thing. I was 0-2 today, but hey, Messi had an opportunity, and he missed his damn penalty kick. He's got to stop doing that when it matters the most, man. That was so heartening and so heartbreaking to watch, especially knowing I had a ticket on it. You know what I mean? I'm over here like I gave out the bet. I got to make sure that people hit, make their money, and it didn't happen. But you know what I saw from that game, bro? What I said on Daily Bread this morning, DePaul, once again, having issues with the ball, not being able to control it, not being able to do much when he has it, making mistakes, giving it up. Do you agree with me that now that I said it for this game, but now moving forward, they're going into the next round. Should Scaloni look at a type of movement there and possibly getting him coming off the bench instead of starting the game?
When you look at the teams they face and the type of center attacking midfielders and strikers they had, they haven't had one that can put even the most defensive pressure in the paw as well, if we're not even talking about his offensive abilities here. So that's where, when you face the next team in the next round, that's going to be the biggest pressure and maybe why he should be able to look outside of it, because you have him out there because you think he's going to bag an assist or make a line-breaking pass. But as of right now, he's been completely neutralized, which you're not liking to see from the quality of the midfielders that he faced in the group stage.
And then Sosa calling it too. First half draw. He liked that. He did call that. That hit. And we agreed with that. You know, they normally start off slow. They want to check out their team, see how they're doing. They play their defense. They're attacking, doing their thing. But today, man, Angel Di Maria, again, doing what he does when he's there. Obviously, he can't finish the game, which that's tough to see, man, because even though you're up, you still want one of your main players in the game. You don't want to take out. That's like taking Messi out of the game. Obviously, you know, you're not going to see that happening, but it's tough when you have to take out a guy like Di Maria. But he balled out today again, bro. He's proved how valuable he is for this Argentinian squad and how when him and Messi are both on the pitch together, it just works a lot more smoothly.
And the way they prepped Alvarez to be ready, came off the bench on the first two games and ran him 78 plus minutes today, and he ended up bagging the goal. I think that was the biggest piece with the rotation there to get him prepped for this game, where you see teams so far, they've been completely game planning for the third leg, making sure they don't completely run out of gas between the first two, which you've seen in Wales and seen other teams where they put too much effort into the first two. And the third, when you have that depth and you get Alvarez to play 78 minutes looking completely fresh, completely changed it there.
Once again, Jose V, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Quan 5'9 up in the studio. We got our guy Rex joining us from the East Coast, man. So it's already 7 o'clock for you. It's getting later over there. It's already dark for you guys. It's about to start getting dark over here, man. But aside from the games today, bro, take away the gambling aspect of it. Obviously, I know you've had some, you know, some money on some of these games. I've been following what you guys are doing on the Wise Guys Diamond Club. You guys have been killing it, you know, during the World Cup. It's like, you know, it just keeps happening. You guys keep making money, and it's just easy, man. It's easy money there. But aside from the games from today, what would you say is your biggest takeaway so far? We did see after the game, Tata Martino gone. I told you guys earlier today, I thought he was going to be gone, you know, after the World Cup regardless, and he should be. They didn't hesitate. I'm out. See you. We don't need you no more. Aside from that, though, like, what are some of your takeaways from this World Cup so far that you've seen overall?
Netherlands and Gakpo trying to put his name to be the top team out there. They have a big number next to the name for a reason. And what we saw with the biggest miss in the Euros and why the Netherlands went out earlier than they were was because Van Dijk wasn't healthy. And when he's a stonewall in the back line, you allow those midfielders to get that much creative and take that much more risk. And you have Dumfries on the wing back position. That team is built up for success, which isn't looking great for who the USA have to play next. But I think the Netherlands just looking like a machine right now is the biggest thing I've taken away.
So you said the magic words, USA. I want to get your honest opinion on my show, on our show, about how you feel about the United States men's soccer. I gave my opinion on Daily Bread earlier today on how I felt after watching them and then looking at a video of them playing 10 years ago previously, right? And I said, to me, it's still the same U.S. national team. And what I mean by that, I get it. We have different players, different coaches, not the same guys, right? But the style of play to me has not changed. I feel like the U.S. just has not evolved to that level. And it all depends, obviously, on the competition that they're playing against. What have you seen from this U.S. team? Are you happy with what you've seen from USA? Are you okay with it? Were you expecting more? What are your takeaways from the U.S. men's team so far through three games?
My expectations are kind of on par with our strikers, with the lack of finishing is maybe not allowing us to play in the modern game or taking the game to the next level. The youth in the midfield hasn't shown to be that level yet, but they haven't shown to be complete disgrace at the same time. Sure, they're missing some passes here and there, but they're keeping us close in games, and our style is going to work better when we play a team's face like the Netherlands. But it's really the back line. Without Chris Richards back there and without that speed in the middle, that's where I was going to be the most nervous from and the most wrong I was about, is our back line has been completely sturdy in front of Turner, which has allowed him to not get in trouble with his feet, because he is not clean with the ball back there at his feet. You see a lot of CYO style, clear it out real quick.
So look, man, I know that when it comes to watching sports, there's all the gambling aspects of it, right? And that's where you come in. That's the things that you do. And the reason I want to ask you this question is because playing and handicapping a selection when you're playing for your team, right, for your country, and when you're watching a guy like Messi play for Barcelona or PSG, the handicapping aspect has to change completely, right? Like, you're looking at the whole landscape of who's on the other side, who, what has the other side done previously moving into this game. Like, don't give away your secrets, obviously. We know that. You're not going to give away what you use as your formula. But how do you look at handicapping these games? Like, are they different when it comes to league play compared to selection play?
Yeah, you got to see what the rhythm they're coming in. But it's the biggest thing I say is you got to look how the formations are going to set up and which players are going to be the most pivotal, because you can see managers switch formations at the midfield, go from a single pivot to a double pivot, or vice versa, like we saw England do in the first game, which released Bellingham to make those goals. It's kind of, you have to keep your eye out there, and it's tough because you want like the all 22 football style, because then you can see which player in the midfield, usually more often than not, if they're not running with wingbacks, is going to have the biggest impact on the game, and you can see the small shifts in it. So that's where before, when we had the COVID times, you could hear the coaches call out the changes in the formation on the hot mic. So that's kind of where, if you dig down into the formation, see who's going to be key to make that run offensively or defensively, that's how you're going to find your biggest edge and potentially find the anytime goal scorers.
Our guy EMB finally showed up. I get it. Traffic happens, bro. Life happens. But you're in the studio. We greatly appreciate you for showing up and being here. You good, though? You good? Everything
all right? Yeah, everything's good.
You made it. Yeah. That's all that matters, bro. Say hi to Rex, your fellow Philadelphian buddy over
here. How you doing, Rex?
You see, he's already sporting all the Bro, you guys had a great run with the Phillies. Let's be real. The Eagles are hot.
Disappointing, though, in the end. Three people showed up for the Phillies, and that's unfortunate.
I'm just saying, soccer, your MLS team makes it to the final. You know what I mean? Heartbreaking, but a great match. Let's be real. They didn't get blown out or anything like that. They were in it all the way to the end.
But
so,
weren't they favored?
I think Philly was favored going into that game.
Union was the hottest team all year in the MLS. So, I mean.
There you go. But look, man, one thing that
I did. On the wrong side of the greatest game in MLS.
One thing that I did want to mention that was pretty crazy, okay? Because I'm a conspiracy theorist guy. I look at all the things that happen around the universe, if you want to call it that. So Mexico scored first, I believe. No, Argentina scored first. And it was McAllister, number 20. Then for Mexico, Martin scores right after, literally minutes later, number 20. Crazy, right? You know, just same jersey number, same player, right? Then later, which to me is the goal of the tournament from, was it Luis Alvarez? Luis Chavez, to me, is the goal of the tournament. The free kick, dude, that free kick was sick. Number 24, he scores. Then, same thing with Argentina, number 20. It's crazy how it goes back and forth, bro. Like, I know it doesn't make any sense. It has nothing to do with the games or whatever, but it's just crazy how that ended. Now, my cousin chimes in on Facebook and he says, we already said that one. He says, Canelo is really going to be looking for Messi for missing that penalty kick. That penalty kick could have got Mexico into the next round by advancing over Poland. He also says, Tata should have been gone before the World Cup when he couldn't beat the U.S. He lost three in a row. I also believe that when you left three of your best goal scorers off of this roster, didn't even decide to bring them. I'm not saying you have to start the guys or they have to be on the starting lineup, but you didn't even add them to this roster whatsoever. You know what
and
I mean?
And they get you eliminated and they'll tie the group stage for the first time in 44 years. And on top of that, now you got the U.S. men's national Twitter saying, is CONCACAF running through the U.S. now, because you get the three straight and the one team gets through? That's how wild you got some of the crazy U.S. fans feeling today.
Bro, it was just crazy, man, to see Mexico go down. I mean, they if I'm being honest, they played their hearts out today, bro. That was probably the best game that they've played in their last five World Cup games. We were talking about this earlier, Rex, and you sent me the stat. Prior to this game, four previous World Cup games, Mexico did not score a goal. So this was their fifth game that they finally get it, and they finally score a goal when it mattered the most. A little bit too late, you know what I mean? 2-1, it sucks. They give up that goal at the end. Ochoa still had a great game. He had a great cup. But, yeah, man, to not see them advanced to the next round is just, it's not soccer-like, if that makes sense. Even if you're a fan of Mexico or not, if you're a fan of watching soccer and watching the World Cup, that is one of the teams you're used to seeing advancing to the next round. And normally playing Argentina in the next round and having those spicy, those exciting games because you have the rivalries between the countries, right? But it is what it is, man. Mexico is out. So is Tata Martino. The World Cup has been interesting, to say the least. A team that I told people not to sleep on is Australia. They've hopped on to the next round as well, which is the team that Argentina will be playing on Saturday. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch there as well. But since we got you in the studio now, let's move on and let's move away from soccer a little bit. Let's move into some college football conversation real quick.
Okay.
So I haven't been following college football as hard as I did last year. I've been a little bit off of it, but I've been following USC a lot closer.
It's been a little messy start of the year, man.
Now, the college football playoff rankings came out the other day.
Yeah.
USC squeaked into the top four, as where we have Ohio State and Alabama still hanging around. I don't know how Alabama gets all that love and still continues to stay there at 5-6, right? I'm okay with the top four. Obviously, I'm an SC fan. I want to see SC in there. SC beats Utah, no doubt about it. They're going to the college football playoff. You're going to go in there and beat Utah, which is, I believe, is the defending Pac-12 champion as well. You're not going in there and beating a slouch. You're going to go in there and beat a great team. Ty Willingham always has his teams ready and ready to go to play no matter what. But I think that it gets interesting at the top, right? Because what happens? So we have Georgia, we have Michigan, USC. What am I missing?
TCU.
There we go. So that's the one that they were talking about. What happens
Such a weird top four, isn't it?
Bro,
like in years past, that we wouldn't even be talking about half of those teams. But it's funny that how sometimes things can just shift. So
no, yeah, and things can shift dramatically depending on what you're going to have. And the thing is, all of the championship games are this week. Kansas State, TCU, right? That's going to be a huge one. Yeah. LSU, Georgia. That's another one. People are saying if Georgia loses, are they still in the top four? You know, that's another conversation, another topic of conversation. I know Roddy's probably all over that saying, yep, we're going to keep them in the top four. You can't take them out regardless.
I think they're too talented, to be honest. Like, they've had some shifts and stuff like that, some getting, like, used to each other a little bit more because it's most of their guys went to the NFL, so it's, like, kind of still, like, a whole new group, right? So I don't know. I still think they're talented, though. I think that they can figure it out by the end of the year. They'll be fine.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia just rested everybody because they're in regardless.
That's what I'm saying.
You have them in Michigan in regardless. TCU, I would be furious if they don't get in. Even if they lose the conference championship game, that's a tough one to take them out. It's USC. I think that's the only team that has the variable factor and has to control their destiny with the WRL.
Yeah, USC has to win, and they're in 100%. I think that if they lose, they're done. They'll get a good bowl, but that's about it. There's no way they're getting into that thing. But the thing about it is the committee is sitting there, and this is where it becomes a popularity contest.
Well,
the committee
has to be
sitting there holding
the QB,
Alabama,
right?
They're just holding Alabama right there. They're saying, just in case. Because even if Alabama don't win anything, they travel. They sell tickets. They sell merch. I get that. It's all about the money now. But I'm tired of seeing the SEC bias. Did you see the top 25? Pac-12 is the best conference in the country this year, whether you want to accept it or not. But yet we're talking about the SEC, and the Pac-12 gets no love whatsoever. You could have a Pac-12 team be ranked number one right now, and they'll lose to a top 15 team. They fall out of the top four. Alabama does that. They fall one spot, maybe two, and they're still in the top four. Why? Because it's the SEC, right? And that's the thing. I think all those biases have to go away. And that's all these contracts, bro, with ESPN and the SEC and all that. What's going to happen when those contracts end and ESPN signs with someone else, another conference, and they're going to have to push that conference? The SEC bias is going to be gone at that point.
So my question, you said Pac-12, and obviously it's a very good conference, but the UCLA is an intriguing one because they started out like super hot, right? And then they've kind of sizzled a little bit. Do you think they pick it back up and like they're able to finish the year, you know, the playoff push strong? Or
well, UCLA's only, they're done. They have no more games left.
Are they done?
Yeah.
Was that the last game?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, they're done.
That's rough because they started out
coming
what,
up
seven,
all championship
7-0, 8-0.
I think they were somewhere around there. They were pretty good. But at the end of the day, look, here's the thing. One thing I'll say about, I'm sorry, we haven't even let you get your thoughts in. The USC-UCLA rivalry is back. That's one. And I'll be honest with you, UCLA is getting there again. They're finally coming back on the map. They're finally becoming a respectable football program and not just a basketball program. If you guys hear the cough, that's my little man. He's in the background hanging out. Had to pick him up after school. But after all of that and all the rambling and rants that we just went through, what are your thoughts on the top four and just the college football playoff, you know, picture right now?
I think just the only back Bama, just so they don't get complete haters and they don't come completely at you, Jose. Well, they have a 3-point loss and a 2-point loss to the 7-14 overall ranked team. Yeah. I think Ohio State's the one that they're dangling there. And you remember 2016, TCU had the better record and they put Ohio State in over. I don't think it's possible this season. I think there's an Exacta ticket sitting out there on one of the books in FanDuel where you can get +340. Which is better value if you do think USC does lose, because Utah's money line is only +120. You do the Exacta of Georgia, Michigan, TCU, Ohio State. I think that's your alternate way to attack the college football playoff seedings before coming into the weekend.
Rex giving you some little action there on the college football playoffs if you're trying to make some money and set it up there real quick. Before we move on, though, my guy, I got to let you plug away, as I do all of our guests. Let everyone know what it is that you do on all things social media, because you guys got the show, Daily Bread, the Wise Guys Diamond Glove. Just go ahead and plug that away real quick. Let everyone know what you do with that and where they can find it at.
Yes, sir. So Daily Bread Media, you can follow us on YouTube, Reddit, that name. Sos and I run a daily gambling show, but our favorite things to do on the weekends for the pay-for-play or on the Sunday morning quarterbacks, where we try to bring in the top analysts from the game that follow their team in, week out, to give you their gambling perspectives, because they can hit players further down the depth charts, because we've hit a fullbacks to score on the Browns before. So it's really just kind of like what you guys do, bring on the other guests, because it's a lot better than just having two guys ramble. And then we just try to share the winners and beat the books together. So the premium stuff is in the Discord channel if that's about your business, but the YouTube channel is full of daily free winners, and that's my favorite part is, hey, if someone wants to tell me, go for it. It's we're in it together in the long run, and just sharing the knowledge is the best part about that gambling Twitter community.
And my guy, I'm so excited. I'm so happy because conference play is right around the corner, and you know what I'm talking about. Because it's about to start, and that's when the spaces get going, because that's when I met you guys last year doing the college basketball spaces. Yep. So I'm so excited. I'm amped up. Our guy, Oliver, on our group message there, he said, the Mountain West God. I appreciate the praise. I'm not a Mountain West God either. I mean, I follow the Mountain West because I cover UNLV. Yeah. So one thing that I did learn from doing the spaces with you, with Spin Doc, with Steven, is the fact that it's okay to stick to a conference. You can bet outside of it, but stick to a conference you like. So obviously I cover the Rebels. I'm at the games. Might as well cover the Mountain West. And it's been an easier conference for me to stick to. You know what I mean? It's more closer to home. I can follow the games more. And I know what players are coming in, playing against UNLV. We're going on the road, doing all that. So if you guys are big college basketball people and you like to bet college basketball, tune in, man. I know the college spaces are coming back. I spoke to Spin Doc the other day. He let me know as soon as conference play is underway, we will get going. And if you guys know me, again, I don't consider myself to be a handicapper. But when it comes to all of the sports that I bet, I really like college basketball because the system that I use that has worked for me has worked better for me in college basketball more than anything. Once conference play starts, that's when I start betting college basketball. I look at percentages. I look at money. That's one of the biggest things that I look at. And then I follow stats after that. I see who they're playing, who that team played previous, and we'll go from there. But to me, money is huge when it comes to college basketball, and it's worked so far. Granted, you're not going to hit every game, but you'll hit most of them. So remember, guys, check out the spaces. They are coming back, and they will be here soon. But any other final thoughts or topics or anything you want to say before we move on to NFL when it comes to college football?
I like UNC on the money line this weekend, +245 against Clemson, the ACC championship game that kind of means nothing.
Bro,
I think May can burn that defense. Sure, he's going to be running for his life because his offensive line might stand no chance. So you're going to be looking for 1 to 2 seconds outs or him scrambling. But he's coming back. Big game he can put on film. Total sitting at 63.5. UNC defenses have gone basically every over across the total. But that's where I think they could be a hungry dog. And Clemson streak, what are they playing for this weekend, right?
There you go, another freebie. And it's funny because before you even said that and I didn't even mention it to you, I love North Carolina this weekend. I really do, bro, because Clemson's on a downward spiral, bro. Look what South Carolina just went in there and did to them. Like, You know what I mean? Like, this team is not that good.
Caleb Williams is a special quarterback, too. I mean,
for USC?
Yeah. He's trying to put on some tape because he's Heisman eligible this year or next year?
Heisman frontrunner?
Next year, right? He's eligible. He has one more year?
Yeah, one more.
So I think he's trying to put on that last, junior year. Or, I don't know what it is, right before the draft year. Tape, and I think he'll ball out. He's special, though. I don't think he wins the Heisman this year, but I definitely think he's a front runner for it next year if he keeps it up.
Dude, I'll be honest with you, and I said it to a lot of people. I even said it on the show, I believe, a few times. I didn't expect much from the Trojans this year. Not in a bad way. It was just, Lincoln Riley's first year. You're bringing in the quarterback. I was expecting a building process.
He got a lot of people that he is familiar with.
A lot of people ended up
coming over, so it didn't quite surprise me as much.
I mean,
look what he did to Oklahoma. They ended 6-6. He took everything off that team.
He took everybody from them completely and said, "Thank you. I'll run away with USC." But
and then getting Addison was the biggest piece.
So here's the big games coming up this weekend on Friday. USC taking on Utah here at Allegiant Stadium. USC coming in as a 2.5-point favorite. TCU against Kansas State and the Pac and the Big 12 championship. TCU -2.5. LSU taking on Georgia in the SEC championship. Georgia coming in as 17.5-point favorite. I can see LSU covering that. I don't know about winning, but I can definitely see them covering that spread. Tulane, man, having an amazing, surprising year. Coming in as a 4-point favorite over UCF. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Michigan continues to roll. Second team in the nation, 12-0. 16.5-point favorite in the Big Ten championship against Purdue. And then, like Rex just said, North Carolina taking on Clemson. Clemson coming in as a 7.5-point favorite in the SEC championship game. So, championship weekend, man. Get ready, because after this, that's when Sunday comes, and it's the selection day, and everything is ready to go, and you know who's going to be in the main bowls and who's going to be playing for the championship. So if it's SC and they're in it, man, I'm going to be excited. Not going to lie about it. But once again, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, EMB, Quan 5-9, our guy Rex from the Wise Guys Diamond Club and Daily Bread Media.
Thank you,
joining
Rex.
Us through video, chopping it up with us right now. We're doing good, man. We're doing good time, even though you were a little bit late. I still got to give you a hard time for that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk picks of the week. Oh, by the way, we do picks of the week during the NFL season, right? Mm-hmm. I'm 7-5, not tooting my own horn, you know what I mean? I hit again this week. We're going to talk at the end of the show, Rex. So you still got half an hour to give us a play of the week. You can give us a bonus play if you like. Sosa did that the last time he was on the show. I believe he went 1-1. So just throwing that out there. It's up to you. College football play, NFL play, whatever you want. You can throw that our way towards the end of the show. But what have you seen from the NFL so far? We are in week 13 as we speak. We got 5 weeks left. Playoff hunt is on fire right now. Yep. You have pretty much the whole AFC East. Correct me if I'm wrong. If the season ended today, making the playoffs, which is insane how that works.
There's two divisions in football right now that if the season ended today, everyone's in, and that's the AFC East and the NFC East.
And talk about that. How does it make you feel as an Eagles fan knowing that your division this year is not – and let's not be funny. Because
I feel good about it.
Normally, people make fun of the division, right? And say it's the worst division in football, year in and year out, whatever it may be. Joking.
So people that know roster buildup and actually pay attention to offseason acquisitions, most of us, we didn't think that some, like, Giants, Commanders were going to be, like, as good as they are. But we did see an upward trajectory. So – a lot of them thought Eagles were going to be really good. The Cowboys were going to be really good. I'm happy that this division is good now because I think it just makes football better. This is one of the most heated rival divisions in football. Like, everyone has beef with each other. It's not like just, Steelers and Ravens or whatever it is. It's like we actually have legitimate beef. Like, Washington doesn't like Eagles. Washington doesn't like Commanders. Washington doesn't like it's, we don't like everybody in the division. It's there's no friends in the division. And I like that for football. Same thing with your division with the AFC East. I think it's good. We've seen for so many years. What is it now? Like 20 years that basically the Patriots have dominated that division. So it's good to kind of see some parity and see that the Bills, the Jets, like I'm glad the Jets are actually looking solid now. Like I wouldn't say they're a powerhouse team. I wouldn't say that I'm pumped the brakes on calling them a contender yet, but their trajectory is very good. I mean, for Saleh in his second year to do what he's doing with that team, especially defensively, kudos to him, man.
Lights out, bro. Absolutely lights out the way that defense is played. We see the way the offense has been able to produce with Zach Wilson. We bring in a guy in Mike White, and it's night and day, bro. Watching the start of that game was insane. I could not believe what I was watching. Like, I knew Mike White was a decent quarterback, but one of the announcers said it best. He came in last year during a game, during an injury, and had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Now he had a week to prepare. He knew he was going to be the guy coming into the game. There was no pressure at that point. He had the time to get ready. Bro, he came out and balled out.
I have a question with that. Because last year, right, we kind of went on a little bit of a Mike White mania for a little bit because, you know, he had that 2-3-game stretch where he just went ballistic. He was playing out of his mind. And then he came crashing down to earth and had like a 0 touchdown, 4 interception. Like, it was a bad game, like a really bad game. Do you think that his consistency, right? Like, do you think that he's closer to being that guy that sparked the mania about him? Or is he closer to that 0 and 4 interception? I'm leaning that he's kind of in the middle, but more towards the 4 interception type of guy.
I'm definitely going he's at the 0 and 4 because he played a terrible Bears team that was completely banged up.
In the rain.
But he's trying, and he knows the playbook. It didn't look like Zach Wilson was investing into the team, investing to build the relationships with the players and caring about it. Because it seemed like when he was calling plays, he had no idea what routes were being run. Yeah. Mike White knows the offense, so he can be the game manager, which is the only part the Jets need. So
Do you think with Zach Wilson's talent that he kind of has that I don't need to study as much as the next guy behind me?
I think he's just arrogant.
Arrogant. Like, because he thinks he can make up with it with what he sees on the field and his throws.
He thinks he's talented enough and he has enough athleticism that he can figure it out on the field. Okay. And it has not shown. That's what I feel watching this kid. And again, I didn't like him coming out of college. I thought it was a horrible pick. I didn't want the Jets to go after him. You know this. I've said it over and over
and over again. You think he has a little bit of Kyler Murray syndrome a little bit?
I think the guy's Johnny Manziel 2.0, and I've said it before. I really do. And here's the thing. I honestly think that Robert Saleh did this kid a favor. I think the fact that he said he needs a reset. We're not trading him. We're not cutting him. You know, doesn't mean he's losing his job. Mm-hmm. But I think he needed that. And I think this is the perfect time for him to get that. Now, will he be the quarterback of the Jets moving forward? That all depends on how Mike White plays for the rest of the season. Yeah. If they keep winning, or even if they lose, but they're in close games and they look better offensively than they did with Zach Wilson, which in one game they already did with Mike White. And you just said it, Rex. Running routes, the camaraderie with the players, with the receivers, the guys getting up after they're hit, the excitement. It was different with Mike White on the field. Not only that, you see Mike White going through progressions and throwing the ball. He knew where all the receivers were.
He knew what routes. As where
Zach Wilson had no idea when guys were right in front of him wide open, bro. Yeah. So I like what I'm seeing from Mike White, but again, it's still too soon. Jets are 7-4. I'm excited about it, but I'm scared about it. Because I got to get a damn tattoo if this does happen.
Two more wins,
and it can happen. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But you're Eagles, guys. Let's be real. Okay. Record-wise, they're the top team in the league right now.
Okay? DVOA as well.
Okay, this guy always with his stats.
I'm just saying. So people can look at the record and say, oh, yeah, they're 10-1. They, you know, who have they played? We're the only team in the entire NFL that's beat 2 8-win teams. The only team. Not the Bills, not the Chiefs, nobody. Just the Eagles. So you can say what you want about our schedule, but when the schedule's in front of us, outside of an extremely sloppy game where there's fumble here, fumble there, penalties here, we have played extremely good football.
The one thing that I will say, the people that are saying and talking crap, okay, if you're a football fan, even if you're not an Eagles fan.
Because they think
fan,
their team is better.
What I'm getting to, the people that are saying, well, they lost to the Washington Commanders at home. Let me get one thing straight. Commanders aren't going to win a Super Bowl this year. But they are a legit team.
They are.
They're a legit team 100%.
I say so every team right now in the NFC East is a legit team. Now, I said this. We've talked about this with the Giants. I feel like the reason why they're faltering is they're starting to play a little bit more disciplined teams with a little bit more explosion. And I said that was going to be their downfall, is that right now, you know, when they were on their win streak, it was because they were playing extremely disciplined football, but they don't have the explosion to go with a team that actually is disciplined and has guys, you know, that can stretch the field. So I think that's kind of like what you're seeing now. But they are a very well-coached team, and if they can get their quarterback and get some actual weapons around that team, they're going to be scary for years to come.
Rex, what do you think about your Eagles, man? You liking Jalen Hurts' play? You liking the coaching job that's being done this year? What have you seen?
I think Jalen's became not as aggressive or not trying to take the extra hits like you saw in week two where he took the two hits from the Vikings players and powered in to the line. You saw him this past weekend against the Packers kind of trot out bounds when he had that similar scenario. So I think he's starting to play smarter football. All the passes that he failed to make in the Buccaneers game in the playoffs, he's starting to show he can hit them. The only issue with there is it might take one or two attempts. We saw it twice this season where when teams are playing Tampa 2, it took them a little bit to find the spot between the corner and the safety. But once you get the rep in, sure, take one or two plays. It's kind of got to him. But I think our biggest issue, people are saying it's Jordan Davis going down. Sure, we're up early a lot, so teams really couldn't run. I think teams are found out how to neutralize completely Haason Reddick and make him a non-factor, which was one of our biggest pieces and one of the biggest issues where when Fletcher Cox, now we see he's probably only good for 8 games a season, and now he can only do 50% of the snaps, and we're signing guys off the street that many other teams probably wanted and couldn't get there. I just think they found out how to go at the right side of our line pretty well.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, so there's a lot. One, I know everyone's going to hate this, but there is a lot of holding. And before people say, oh, there's holding all across, there is holding all across. But when it comes against edges, especially explosive edges, it's more apparent because they get that bend around and, you know, it looks like they're grabbing their shoulders. And I get it. But he is being held a lot. So is Josh Sweat. Sweat gets held almost every play. It's crazy. But I mean, he had that really big sack against Colts, sealed the game. He's getting pressure. To me, that defense is not necessarily on the D-line what's concerning to me. It's more of Scott. Maddox is a very key component to that defense. The communication between the nickel slot corner and basically the outside boundary corner and the safety is so important to Jonathan Gannon's schemes. And his scheme is very complicated. It's very vanilla pre-snap, but it rotates into very complicated half quarters a lot of times. They like middle man a lot. They do some zone contour stuff. But, like, it's heavy on communication, and where you see a difference night and day is where Maddox is communicating, passing off routes to the safety, to the boundary corner. And I think that's defensively their biggest issue. Now, passing, I think Goddard being out is huge. And they say that he's out of the sling now. He should be back week 15, but we don't have depth behind Goddard, so it's very apparent that that middle of the field becomes very close when it's just AJ running through the middle.
I like what I'm seeing from Jalen Hurts, if I'm being honest with you. I've always told you, and I told you this last year after I believed
he's
in Bryce Young.
Very well.
I've never been an Alabama quarterback fan, if that makes sense. I just never thought they'd do much in the NFL. The last guy to do anything was our New York Jet, Joe Willie Namath. We already know what he did. Obviously, that was Super Bowl III. That was before I was even born. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from Jalen Hurts, bro. If I'm being honest with you, he looks like a leader. He looks comfortable. It looks like nothing phases him. Even if he does make a mistake, which he rarely has made a mistake this year, It looks like he's okay. There's nothing wrong.
Very even keeled.
Yeah, bro. And I love what I'm seeing from him. I know I give you crap from it all the time because, you know, we're going to go back and forth. Yeah. But if I'm being 100% real, I love what I'm seeing from this team all the way around. And the coaching staff, bro. I've said it with the Jets, how Robert Saleh's done an amazing job coaching this team and his coaching staff. I see the same thing with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's be real. You expected big things from your team, but probably not an 8-1 or 9-1 start. Let's be real.
I thought we were going to drop a couple games here and there, and I thought it was going to be mainly due to coaching. I mean, we had talked about it. I thought we were going to drop the Vikings in week two. There's a couple of games where I thought that we were going to drop. Once the season kind of started and I really started being able to see Jalen Hurts' progression, not just in his reading the field, but his mechanics from top to bottom. I mean, you can see it, his stance, his drops, his footwork. He has done a lot of the lonely work in the offseason, and it's showing. So it's funny that you say you don't like Alabama quarterbacks when two of them are now considered, this year at least, top five. So...
Hey, so this just came across my screen. I know it's not football related, but it's football related, and this is gambling related, so it's funny. So the goalkeeper from Poland, it just came out that he bet Messi right before the referee came back from looking at the VAR. He bet Messi 100 euros. I bet you he's not going to call it a penalty. And Messi took the bet. He lost the bet, obviously, because they ended up calling it a penalty. And he goes, I don't know if that's allowed at the World Cup. I'm probably going to get banned for it, but I don't care right now. I wouldn't care either. And he even said, I'm not going to pay him. He doesn't care about 100 million euros. I think he has enough. Friendly wagers, friendly fun. It's funny that it happened that way. But the guy stopped the goal regardless, man. That was an amazing stop. But
if it's Jordan, he's collecting.
If it's Jordan, he's collecting his money. That's funny. Definitely. But look, man, a lot of things going on in the NFL, bro, obviously.
A lot of injuries this week. I don't know if you've paid attention, but a lot of kind of surprise ones. Christian McCaffrey's out again with a knee
But how surprising discomfort. Is that?
I mean, it's not surprising, but... I think everyone was hopeful, right? That new training staff, a new area, that may, you know, a bit warmer, that it would work in his favor. And I mean, it's just knee discomfort. Who knows if that's one, two games. Unfortunately, with Christian McCaffrey, we've seen where that knee discomfort can turn into, you know, 4, 5, 6 games. So I hope him a speedy recovery, but that's a huge blow. Although, at the same time, the last couple games, it's kind of weird because he's been sharing a lot of the touches.
How am I supposed to stay healthy, right?
That's supposedly how he's supposed to stay healthy, and yet he's been sharing in backfield and still getting hurt. So that is a little bit concerning, especially with, you know, what they gave up for him. So,
Elijah Mitchell's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Is he?
He got hurt.
That's what I was going to say. Let's actually talk about this game. I want to talk about
who's in your backfield right now. So if Elijah Mitchell is... injured.
I could put you in the backfield and you could get 100 yards.
I mean, you guys do have a good line, but what I'm asking is, who is the next man up?
I think Coleman is still there. And then the young dude, I can't remember his name. He played
Davis
a little
Price
bit on Sunday.
Would probably be it. Or Mason.
The one thing I'll say about this game, all right, because I'm looking at the gambling aspect of it. I'm not talking about the players or who's playing or doing all that stuff, but. You have a Dolphin team that I believe is undefeated when Tua starts this year, right?
Yep.
All right. We have a Niner team
when he starts and finishes. Sorry.
Correct. Niner team that's hot, playing good, winning games, leading their division, coming in as a 4-point favorite. This is where it's crazy. You have ATS tickets, 80% of the money on the Dolphins. Everyone's taking the 4 points. And then you have all the money line tickets coming in on the Niners.
The line's still minus 4.
So people saying,
four,
we think the Niners are going to win, but we don't think the Niners are going to cover.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with that. I can see the Dolphins coming in and covering this 4. I think that's a great number to get on the road. This is a great Dolphin team, the way that they're playing. And they also have a coach coming back home that kind of knows this team, right, if we're being honest?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami comes out swinging.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of emotion on this game. I think Jeff Wilson is you know, he's coming back. Mm-hmm. I think he's been playing extremely well. He's been playing the way that Jeff Wilson has believed that he would play if he was a premier back. So I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. You mentioned McDaniel. I think that he's that kind of dude that like will really try to stick it to a team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and, like you said, he knows that team. I wouldn't be surprised if Dolphins not only win that game but cover.
What do you think, Rex? What are your thoughts on the game?
You could throw it the vice versa way. They know that whole team too, because especially a lot of pieces are from there. And it kind of showed that the 49ers having a good running back is kind of just a plus. So that's why I think we really haven't seen the number move that much. And I think this comes down to defense than anything else. You can go with the Tua versus Garoppolo debate. But as of right now, the way the San Francisco defense is rolling, sure, you can go with the easy narrative. 0 points allowed, in the last 4 second halves? Until I see a team, even though with the weapons that the Dolphins have on the outside and Tua being an accurate short passer,
yeah,
this is like a great matchup to see which style is going to win out here.
And that's true. I would say this for everyone thinking that the 49ers know that offense. They do, but not because of what people think. That offense is not that similar to the 49ers offense. What that offense is actually very, very similar to and almost a direct copy of is actually the Chiefs' old offense. If you look at it, the way that they run their schemes and stuff like that, they're almost schematically identical.
Once again, Jose V, Ian B, Quan 5-9. We got our guy Rex from the Wise Guys Diamond Club joining us here on Straight Bet Sports. Again, if you haven't downloaded the app, please do so today. The Gorilla Cross app on all Play Stores, Apple and Android. It's completely free. And also check out the website, GorillaCross.com. We got about a little over 10 minutes here, guys. We can jump into our picks of the week if you like, just to kind of get that rolling and give us enough time to explain why we like what we like. So last week, I had the Minnesota Vikings. I took them on the Thursday night game on Thanksgiving. Easy cover there. Obviously, it was an interesting game to watch, but they did cover the spread without an issue. -2.5-point favorite, winning outright by 7, I believe it was. So that puts me at 7-5 on the season. Ian, what was your pick of the week? And where are you at?
Last week, what was my pick? Titans were my pick of the week. And yeah, that was a bad one. I felt like that should have been a cover.
Shout out to my guy Lowe from LowSportsPicks.com. Yeah. He sent me a 5-star play. He said, take the Bengals on the money line. I added them to my 2-team parlay and made it a 3-team money line parlay. They all came through, so I can't complain. But yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I felt like that. I don't know. Titans are a weird team, man. Like they seem to like figure it out and then go completely away from what's working the next game. It's very weird to me. But that being said, do you want me to give?
Yeah,
one?
Give me. Yeah. I haven't given mine
okay,
yet.
So I like the Giants at +2.5 against the Commanders. Okay. And the reason why I like that is because, as we were saying, the Giants are a very disciplined team, right? But they, when they face teams that are disciplined and explosive, they falter. Commanders aren't disciplined. They might be a little bit more explosive, but they're definitely not a disciplined team. So I would imagine that the Giants at home, this is their first losing streak, right, for this season. I mean, they're used to it as an organization, but this season, it's not something they're used to. I think they bounce back, and I do think that they take the Commanders.
Okay. Ian's taking the Giants -2.5. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I is someone
plus
out?
+2.5.
I'm sorry, +2.5. No. I'm looking at Commanders -2.5.
So the reason why is because the Giants.
Oh, wait, you're O-line. Taking the Giants. I'm sorry.
So the Giants O-line is banged up, and okay. I mean, like, extremely banged up. However, I feel like their backups and Duvall did an extremely good job of holding the Cowboys somewhat at bay. And yes, there's some impact plays on that offensive line against the Cowboys that eventually led the Cowboys to come back in the fourth quarter. But you know what I mean.
I got you.
I think the Giants can take the Commanders. Do we know if Chase Young's back yet? I know he was activated, I want to say, last week, but is he back yet? Is he ready to play?
They activated him and then sat him like right before kickoff and said he had a setback or something, or they were just holding him out. Okay. Who knows?
So it's kind of up in the air. To be honest, he hasn't played the entire year. Even if he did play, there's been so many setbacks, unfortunately, with a very talented player.
No.
And on that turf. Speaking of turf, real quick, I don't know if everyone saw, but Lane Johnson attributed the fact that he didn't blow out his ACL to the fact that we were playing on grass. And if you watch the video, 100% that's true. So he took a shot to his knee and his foot was able to kind of lift off of the grass and rip through the grass, allowing him not to plant that leg. If that leg was planted, he absolutely tore something.
All right, what you got, Rex? What's your pick of the week, my man? Give us your guest pick of the week.
So I gave you the underdog of the UNC at +245 earlier, but for the NFL play here, it's been an angle I've been targeting this seasons and spreads that have double digits. I like taking the under. So give me the Cowboys-Colts Sunday Night Football under 44 at -110. I don't expect this Colts offense to get moving. My biggest concern is they gave up a defensive score to the Cowboys. I just see the Cowboys moving it slow here. This is kind of a get-in, get-out type of game. Give me the under 44 at -110.
There we go.
I like it.
Ian with the Giants at -2.5. Rex
plus
giving
two
you.
And a half, plus
I'm sorry.
Two and a half.
I keep it's because it's
I
hard.
I know because
it's hard for me to believe that the Giants are an underdog at
right?
all.
Yeah.
All right, let me fix that. There we go. Giants plus
and why
two
do we
and
have
half.
To see the Colts on Monday Night Football and then Sunday Night Football? When they have a really good game, they could have flexed in the Dolphins, the 49ers.
Yeah.
You're preaching to the choir, bro. 100%. You're preaching to the choir. You got to find a way to get these good games and meaningful games on TV.
I'm thinking Fox said something like, no, don't take that game from us.
Well, you know, Fox loves the Cowboys. Because, do you think it's because they ended up flexing Tua versus Herbert?
Well, they did that 2 weeks, the next week.
No, I know. But, like, is it maybe possibly, because they're like, but it doesn't oh, make well, sense. We don't want, Tua being primetime 2 weeks in a row?
We'll see.
Maybe.
No, it's Jerry Jones.
It's Jerry Jones having his influence.
That's true, too. Could be.
All right, man. So I'm going to give you my pick of the week, and then we'll let our guy Rex head on out so he can enjoy the rest of his night, and I'll finish out with my speech of the night. But I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm going to be rooting for a rival here. But we talked about it earlier, and I think the Dolphins going on the road, I truly believe that right now, the way that they're playing – whether I'm a hater or not, take the hater away, take that away.
They're a good team.
I think the Dolphins are a really good, solid team. I give Tua his respects. He's staying healthy. He's playing well. Number one rated passer in the NFL right now currently. I looked at the stat before we got in.
Most off-target throws in the NFL, though. So
that too, but I mean, you got a guy in Tariq Hill. You can just throw it up and he'll be there.
Exactly. That's why I mean,
but
it helps. It helps when you have a receiver that can bail you out constantly, but.
He'll most likely get another concussion this weekend.
So here's the thing. I'm not saying they're going to win this game. We're talking about gambling. We're talking about point spreads, and we're talking about that nature. I think the Dolphins could come in here, cover this four-point spread. If they win the game, I wouldn't be surprised. But I can see this being a nail-biter down to the end, field goal game. Give me the Dolphins plus the four. I think the fact that the way Tua is playing, the way they're being coached, this guy is hilarious on and off the field. But, bro, I think the players are enjoying playing the game. They're not just going out there like, oh, we got another game week. You know what I mean? So give me the Dolphins plus the four. That's my pick of the week. Try to move it to 8-5. Try to get you a little more closer to 500 before the season ends. But my guy Rex, one more time, man. Plug away. Let everyone know where they can find you before we let you go.
Yes, sir. REEast_EASY with the Z on Twitter, but just follow us on Daily Bread Media, YouTube, Daily Picks coming at you live. Saturdays, we have the college football show that's going to transition into the college basketball show, and then Sunday morning quarterbacks on there. So for all your free winners each day at Daily Bread Media.
There it is, my guy Rex. We greatly appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and go Cowboys.
Always a great time tapping in, even though he said that at the end. He had to ruin it.
Nah, I appreciate you, my guy. Definitely. We'll get you back on soon again, man.
Thanks for coming, man.
Took a little too long to get you on. We'll get you back.
Thank you.
But yeah, man, that was a good show. Fun time. Good stuff there with Rex. Anything you want to say before we get out of here, my guy?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have some bad news. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed our time. I enjoyed the opportunity. Jose, I want to thank you for the opportunity, but unfortunately at this time slot, with everything going on with family and stuff, I do have to step away from sports media for a little bit. So, for a while is goodbye. This is going to be my last show. But I do hopefully look forward to working with you in the future, working with possibly Quan in the future. And been a pleasure, man. Again, I thank you so much for the opportunity. I've had a blast. This year and a half has been amazing. I think we've done some really great stuff on this show. If the people watching want to follow me on Twitter, it's Ian B Sports. Sorry.
Let it out, bro. I know you're emotional, but let it out.
Ian B underscore sports. Please follow me. I probably won't be as active. I haven't been as active recently, but if you DM me or tag me, I'll try my best to respond.
My guy, I just want to say I appreciate everything you've done for the show, for me, man. You've been a great help. You have no idea. I told you, you're a part of the show. This isn't my show. This is our show. You made it what it is today. You know, when Rob dipped and we've had that part, you were there. You know what I mean? You were hitting me up previous, like, hey, man, I want to learn. I want to do this. I want to jump in. What can I do for years? And I never, you know, got back to you to get you in. And you were there when I needed you. You know, I picked up the phone, called you, and you didn't hesitate. So I appreciate you and everything that you have done, man. And you've grown. You've learned a lot. And your timidness and scaredness has gone away. And you can just talk sports now and enjoy it. And that's what it's all about, my guy. And I can see that you coming here, even though you have your family situations going on, it's been like an escape for you. You enjoy yourself. And it's just like me. When I'm here, nothing else matters. Granted, I love my family. I love everything outside. But when I'm inside these walls in this studio, what's like going on here, it's all that matters. We're in the bubble, right? Definitely. But I appreciate you, my guy. Best of luck with everything that you continue to do. The show's not over. You'll still be a part of it because we're going to be switching up some stuff down the road in the future. But yeah, man, I got to get into my final thought before we finish up. We got about 2 more minutes here, but our final thought is brought to you by our sponsor, of course, our guy, Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric, 702-884-8138, or on IG, Line 'Em Up by Eric. Make sure you hit him up today. Download the Booksy app. That's the easiest way to set up your appointment with him. Check the times, check the prices, whatever it is you need done. He has it there, and he'll set it up for you. I'm going to see him this Saturday. It's been a long time coming. I've been busy with work. Haven't had a time to do it, but I'm gonna be there. Let him know Jose V sent you an EMB, Quan 5'9", here at Straight Bet Sports. He'll make sure to take care of you. Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. We greatly appreciate him and his sponsorship here on the show. If you want to be a sponsor on the show, man, hit me up on the DM. If not, straightbetsports@outlook.com. We got sponsorship opportunities wide open. Let us know if you want to help out, be a part of it, and help us continue to move forward here on the show. But my final thought of the night is UNLV Sports. You got rid of a guy in Tony Sanchez that was a high school coach after beating Reno in the last game of the season, having a better record than he had previous, but not giving him that extra year of an opportunity. We got to stop getting rid of coaches and having this coaching carousel and going over and over again. Harp, I understand. Marcus Arroyo wasn't your hire. He was Desiree Reed Francois' hire. It wasn't yours. I totally understand that, and I get that. You want to see possibly your guy or your female, whoever it is going to be that you're going to bring in, or whatever it may be to coach that team moving forward, right? Whatever it is you want to do with it. But I think the fact that Marcus Arroyo started his career during a COVID season, didn't have a full season to play, didn't have all the actual and normal resources that a head coach has from beginning to end previous to start the season. Got better technically every year he was here record-wise. I get it. 4-1. You should have won 2 more games. You should have made a bowl game. The fact that Harp came out and said, if we go 5-7, I'm sorry, we're 5-7, but if they offer us a bowl game, we will still take it. I'm good with that. I'm happy he said that. I think these kids deserve that, especially the seniors, the super seniors that are on this team that aren't going to get that opportunity to play anymore. Give them this bowl game. Give them this sense of relief to know, hey, I did something here in my last year. But you're not going to give Marcus Arroyo that opportunity. I think firing him was a bad decision. I don't think he's a great, great coach by any stretch of the imagination at all. I think he was a good coach. I thought he finally had the program going in the right direction. But now we'll never see what he could have created here. Now we're back to the drawing board, back to square one, and we're starting from the beginning to see who our next head coach be. There's people out there that are saying it might be Derek Mason, former head coach over at Vanderbilt. Who knows? Whoever comes in, they better continue what Marcus started, because a guy that was a high school coach got a longer tenure here than a guy that was seasoned as a coordinator in college football. And the final thing, committee. people that do the rankings, the AP poll. How is it that UNLV men's basketball, the Running Rebels, are undefeated at 7-0, have beat a top 25 opponent in Dayton early in the year, and have beat opponents with winning records? I know some are not the greatest, but they beat Minnesota, Southern Illinois, teams that are going to be decent in their conferences, in their divisions, right? But yet we have San Diego State that's in the Mountain West with UNLV that's 5-2, and both of their losses came to top 25 programs. Something's got to change, man. Let UNLV sniff it. Give them the 25 ranking at least. Let them crack that, man. But Argentina, te amo. Muchísimas gracias. Messi, mete tu gol para la otra vez. Hopefully they can beat Australia. Till then, for Jose V, for EMB, this ain't the last time, my guy. We appreciate you. We love you. Respect you. Keep doing your thing. For Quan 5'9", for our guest Rex from the Wise Guys Diamond Club. Till next week, we are out. Peace.
Later.